And welcome back to the team effort. I'm still Ed Caverly. Today it's all about the best ever. We find ourselves absolutely drenched in quality today, my friends. Here and just so solid, it's the business end of our podcast. Hello, producer Jay.
Good to be here.
Now listen here, you. The team effort's not mucking around, yeah? Mm. So put down that device. Stop sucking down those fat cigarettes. You're not going to learn shit from Minecraft or Nine Honey. These experts don't have time to waste, except Ash. So get your shit together and listen up.
I don't have time to waste either.
Sorry, Ash. I just get a bit fired up when the team effort gets cranking. Like an unattended thermix, we're ready to blow with our guests. Who's that queen bitch keeping her glass filled to the rim? It's the notorious ASH. Yes, that's him on MTV, no doubt, with a titty out like what? Stand to attention and get ready to welcome the man with the 2-inch running shorts, Mr. Ash Williams.
I'm drenched.
In sweat, let's hope.
Now, we'll put some applause in there for you.
Now to our next guest. The best way to describe him is imagine a model turned blogger turned DJ. Now imagine the exact opposite of that. He's actually funny and talented and has never hashtag beach bod in his life. His new book, Deadly Kerfuffle, is rocketing up the bookselling charts so fast that Jimmy Barnes has had to find a 5-minute period that's currently doesn't have a book about it in his life in order to make one up as to try and head him off at the pass. Can you please welcome book writing author, Mr. Tony Martin?
Yes, watch out, Kerri-Ann Kennelly and your hardback. I'm coming for you.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And now to the man who single-handedly dragged Offspring up the showbiz ladder only to cruelly drop it like it was not hot. It's the lion heart of thespianism, like Timon and Pumbaa and Mustafa and that bird that Rowan Atkinson played all in one. Stand up, shake your paws together for the leader of the pride, Mr. Lockie Hume.
Thank you, William. Thank you.
Theme music, please.
I like your pants around, Johnny. Come on.
Real theme music, please. Yes, that's right. It's all about the best ever. Yes, we're going to do some JFK. We have to. Still so many things
people
to cover.
Are on tenterhooks from the last episode.
Yeah.
Did George Miller, not the Mad Max one, the other one, did he direct the film
Prey?
The low grossing, $600 at the box office.
$350, I think it was.
In today's... I was including video release. In fact, he did. But why I was confused is because he's whopped a T in there. He's now George T. Miller.
And you know what the T's for?
Oh. The. George the Miller.
Rex Hunt, your thoughts on that?
Give me a break, will you, Cyril? Mm-hmm. Goodness gracious me. Sack the cook and hold my calls. Mm-hmm. What is the game coming to?
Thank you, Rex. Ash.
He loves having his calls held.
Sack the cook, too. Poor cook.
Ash, when we left off, Team Effort listeners have been left hanging because you promised a Harley Davidson story that you had, quote, forgotten for 6 years.
Yes. Until, miraculously, at the mention of Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man, it all came flooding back.
Again,
it was like Ash's life is like NAMM flashbacks. It's just something triggers him and he goes, he's back in the...
I'm getting lots of flashbacks though at the moment.
You know why? Because you're not drinking.
Yeah, I'm off the piss.
Yeah.
Really?
Couple of days.
Were you on the piss?
No.
I wasn't aware that you were...
Oh, not hardcore, but I used to give it a shake. Yeah.
Let's go, Harley Davidson.
And so I was in LA, and I went for a Harley Davidson TVC, right? And they're like, first things first, try on the leather jacket. I said, great. Walked in, tried on the leather jacket, and they said, oh my God, you're the first person today we've seen like 60 dudes, the leather jacket fits you perfectly. He's our man. And I'm thinking in my head, like, fuck yes, I fucking got this.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be rich.
Yeah.
And then they're like, do you ride? Do you ride Harley Davidson's? And like,
yes.
Showbiz rule, yes to everything.
Yes, I said everything.
Yes,
that's how I ended up working with Ed Caverly.
Yeah, that's how I got to where I am today. That's also how Lockie Hume ended up driving a Lamborghini on screen, despite having never, Paulini style, never having a driving license.
Correctamundo.
Yes, Ash.
And because you worry about that when you get to the shoot day, you know, you can sort out the riding. And they're like,
hang on, you were attempting to learn how to ride a Harley Davidson.
No, we're still in the casting. Okay. Like, so you ride? I said, yeah, man, I ride.
Yeah, just wait till we get on set and I'll be able to do it.
Big time, big time. I've been in this game a long time, baby. And I said, I ride. He goes, what do you ride? I said, Harley Davidson. And then everyone's there. Everyone just can't believe how well the jacket fits. They're just like clapping, just like mouth agape. I'm thinking, I am going to be huge. This is my calling.
This is it.
And they said, well, we just need to get some footage of you riding the Harley. Yeah. And I go, yeah, no worries. I said, come with us. They took me into another room. I walked through that room. They walked me into the car park.
Have you still got the jacket on?
Yep. I'm trailed by 10, 15 casting agents. Waiting for me in the car park is a Harley Davidson. Right? It's running.
Okay, they said, that's step one. You don't have to learn how to turn it on.
Well, yeah, and then the camera guys with me go, we just need to get a few laps of you circling the car park with the leather jacket on. The job's yours. I walk up to it thinking, how am I going to fall him here? And I look at it and said, nice bike. How much is this worth? And they're like, oh, it's like $100,000. And I go, ooh, it's a bit. And I said,
how much is the jacket?
And then I said, why don't we, my leg's a bit shoddy at the moment. Why don't I just get on and we'll just do some still shots and pretend that I'm riding and we'll just take care of them in the shoot, Dad. And I said, no, we need the video. So then I get on thinking, fuck, I'm going to have to try and ride this thing. And I just thought, I'm going to fucking crash it and then I'll owe $100,000. So I said to the casting guy, I said, look, I'm going to be honest with you.
Which one? There's like 15 of them.
The main guy.
Right.
With the grey hair. He knows who he is. And I said to him, I'm going to be honest with you. It's been a while. And he goes, how long? I said, a long time. He said, what's a long time? I said, 20 years.
20, settled on 20. Right.
So that would have made you like 10 when you'd last ridden the Harley.
And then I said, and to be honest, I didn't really ride it that well back then.
Because I was 10 years old and had no place on a Harley Davidson.
Because your feet couldn't reach the pedals. Do they have pedals? I don't know.
And then he just looked at me like, bastard. You're not getting the job.
Give me the job.
And then I just said, I'm going to go. And he said, yeah, I think we should.
Did you take the jacket?
No, I gave him the jacket back and I walked out and everyone looked at me leave the car park and I never saw them again.
I'd like to think that grey-haired guy has put on a tickling video one night. There's that guy.
There he is. He looks fantastic in manacles.
I hope so.
God. I used to know a guy who was a tough guy. He was an ex-cop who got a job as a postman. For Toorak in Melbourne, which
swanky
is
suburb,
a posh suburb. Mm. And when he found out that he was going to be driving a motorbike, went to the post office and said, could I drive a Harley Davidson?
As a postman. And what did he say?
And because he went, surely it could just be any kind of motor, and they weren't up for it.
I had to be the Honda.
Yeah, just had to be a little
putt Honda bike. And did he have to wear the Legionnaires cap underneath the helmet, which is I always love.
Short pants. Oh, but how good would it be to have the Harley the Sons of Anarchy looking postman.
Yeah, with all high vis.
And the high handlebars.
Yes. Ape hangers.
What were they called?
They were called ape hangers in New Zealand. I don't know what they're called here.
Originally designed for long highway drives because that was a more relaxing position.
Oh, is that what
I read that somewhere. Mm. It's probably incorrect.
You told me that. I've been telling everyone. So
anyway, the comedy continues here at the podcast.
Let's have some trivia.
Two bittersweet stories about Harleys.
We're so out of practice, aren't we?
What are the names of the adult films that Travis takes his date to in Taxi Driver?
Sweet something or other. Sweet.
No, it's low. That's incorrect. We move to Tony. The two names of the double feature.
Is it Behind the Green Door?
It's not Behind the Green
Door. No. It's a Swedish.
Yes.
Something.
Yes.
I Am Curious Yellow.
No. The first one is called Sometime, and the second one is the Swedish Marriage Manual.
Right. Sometime. Sally.
She's not listed, but I'd love her.
Oh, geez, Ed. That look on your face then was I was right. I was like, come on.
Yeah, come on. Give me the Harley. I'm out of here. Give me the damn Harley.
Yeah, good, okay.
Lockie.
Yes, mate.
We have to do it. Everyone is allowed. We're talking about the best ever conspiracies, of course, the JFK murders and all the things surrounding it, Tone.
Yes.
Now, there's been a number of files that have been released. Now, everyone, Ash, has been tweeting at you and I saying you have to get Lockie on. You have to talk about the JFK murder. You just have to do it. Now, I think the best way to do this is that we're all allowed one JFK question each. I think that's fair.
I think that's fair.
Okay. Would you like to open the batting, Tone, or would you like me to do it?
Lockie, how much has been crossed out? Because I know originally Donald Trump was going to let everyone read the whole thing, and then somebody obviously had a word to him.
Hey, Donald, come here a second.
And then it was redacting a go-go.
Of the file release, only 50% of the files have come out, not 100% as promised. There's been a lot of redactions, a lot of missing pages, but the most interesting aspect of the five top suspects, who are all CIA officers, who are all deceased, all of their files have been completely sanitised. Mm-hmm. So, for example, David Attlee Phillips, who was the chief suspect in the assassination as the so-called mastermind of the Kennedy plot, there is not one document from 1961 to 1965 in his file.
So is it that the documents aren't there, or is it that they are there but there's a lot of felt pen crossing out that you could maybe hold up to the light?
Literally open the manila folder.
Okay, let's go with Tone's hold up to the light theory for a while.
Yeah.
Okay, so nothing there. Okay.
And the other condition that Trump's put on releasing the rest of the files is that anyone who's living, their file will not be released. Well, there's only one person living.
Okay, hang on.
And that is Ruth Payne.
And her husband,
Michael Payne.
Okay.
Who are the other people who provided all of the evidence that effectively convicted Lee Harvey Oswald in the public's eyes.
Okay.
Back and to the left. Back. And to the left. Back and to the left.
That's from Oliver Stone's Pilates class.
That is, of course, Kevin Costner in the JFK film, Ash. What do these files do for back and to the left?
Well, the stuff that's nothing.
Nothing. I mean, let's short answer.
You're not looking at autopsy stuff.
Let me ask you this. Like, my one question is, the thing I read on the internet is that the main name that's been redacted out of these files, because he is still alive, very much so, and was in the CIA at the time, is George Bush Sr.
Aha.
Jesus.
No, that's not true. There's stuff relating to Bush Sr. that has been redacted.
This is not my question.
Mm-hmm.
What is redacted?
Redacted. Redacted means somebody has taken a big black Sharpie and crossed it out.
Big black. Yeah, right.
Okay, ask your question.
Okay, I'm sick of this. This is my question. I'm sick of it, Lockie. I'm sick of this game. Yeah. Sick of wasting time. Yeah. I want to get on with my life. I'm 35 years old.
Yeah.
I want answers.
Yeah.
My question is, who killed JFK?
Good question. Okay. Strong. Don't know why Tony and I are messing around in the shallow end.
Was it?
Direct.
That's it. Okay, here it is.
Professor Plum.
I'll try and keep it succinct.
Here we go.
It was a plot engineered by a handful of CIA officers using a little bit of mafia money, using some Cuban exile operatives to assassinate John F. Kennedy, to pin the blame on the Fidel Castro Cuban government in order to launch an invasion of Cuba. And it all went horribly wrong.
Wow, that is...
Okay, now this is not a question about the files,
okay,
but sort of on topic.
That's okay.
Lockie, what value have you got from, as we mentioned on this show before, your journey to Dallas to measure an aqueduct?
Well,
I believe it was a viaduct.
A viaduct? Really?
I don't know the difference. Ash, what's the difference?
They're the same thing.
Okay. Thank you, Ashley. There's a little, in all the literature on the Kennedy case, there are what I call micro books, which they just literally, like, they're pamphlets and they're 100 pages long. They deal with one specific thing. Hmm. And there was one that came out several years ago called Flight from Dallas, where I've talked about it to you guys before,
where
it was claimed that a military jet landed in the Dallas viaduct. Mm. And, so one of my dear mates, Ivan Devison, he's a pilot. And so I rang Ivy up and I said, give me the specs on this plane. He did. And so I thought, well, when I'm in Dallas, I'll go and have a look to see if that's feasible. It's more than feasible. The Dallas viaduct's about four times the length of the MCG.
You've measured it?
You don't need to. It's huge.
It's enough. An eye test is enough.
Yeah. Do you think that there is a file somewhere in the FBI or the CIA building which has got pictures, long lens pictures of a bloke from Offspring and a tape measure in an aqueduct?
I did have a creepy, the first time I ever went to Dallas, did have a very creepy experience when I came into Dealey Plaza with my then girlfriend at the time. And
because you made her dress as Jackie O?
That was the blood splatter and the guns and things. But this guy came up and said, I'm from Dallas Morning News, and what are you doing here? And I said, oh, well, we're just here because of the historical significance. And he just whipped out a camera and took a shot of me. And I said, excuse me, you got a business card? And he just quickly walked off. Oh. There's my little that's my FBI file being created. Who knows?
So do you think he's a full-time FBI on the ground?
I think certainly for the anniversaries, they're very interested to see
who turns up
and what type of interest is. Look, the thing about the file release, this is the most crucial thing everybody needs to understand.
Give it to us.
Is that here we are 54 years after the assassination and the CIA are still desperate not to have their files released. They lobbied Trump right up until midnight that night.
Wow.
They were in the Oval Office. And as a result, so much stuff has been sanitized. It's against the law. The law was passed in 1992 to release these files. They have not been released. What does that the CIA not want us to know all this time?
But didn't we learn on this podcast that the real evidence is contained in the DVD extras?
For That's it. All you got to do is just look at the Weigman film in high res, and there he is, Oswald, standing on the stairs.
In the vestibule drinking a Coke.
In the vestibule drinking a Coke, which is exactly what Oswald told the cops.
Ash.
Poor Oswald. Hey, listen.
Poor Oswald. No one ever thinks about Oswald in all of this.
I do too. The kid was chewed up and spat out.
That is so true.
Yeah. I do think about him, and thank you for pointing it out, Ashley, up top.
Thank you.
High five for Oswald. High five all around. Jay.
I sometimes like to let Google guide the questions.
Good.
You start to type in something, and then it'll give you a whole bunch of suggested things. And the number one thing, Lackey, did the JFK, is what I started to type, and then it's the first question is, did the JFK limo stop?
Yes, it did, according to eyewitnesses, but it does not according to the Zapruder film. There is the discrepancy. I believe the Zapruder film, but I do believe William Greer, who was the driver of the limo, there's at least 10 eyewitnesses who saw the brake lights come on.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at the Zapruder film, you see Greer turn around.
Yeah.
He's not doing his job. He looks behind him instead of just accelerating.
Yeah.
But I think, sir, you've got a little bit of a combination of both. I think he's
jammed the brakes on.
Not come to a screaming stop, but touch the brake pedal.
That's what
the red light saw, and then accelerated. But he obviously, you got to remember, all the Secret Service guys were drunk.
Right.
Yeah.
They'd all been out till 4 a.m. drinking this shit called clear water, which I've drunk, which is a Texan moonshine.
So you drank it just for research purposes?
I did.
Clear water?
No, I didn't do it in Dallas. I had some flying over. Now, they all went to a place called the Pat Kirkwood Cellar Bar, which was a notorious beatnik hangout.
Oh.
They were drinking all night. A retired fireman was left to guard JFK and Jackie back at the hotel.
Jeez.
These guys were drunk as skunks. Mm. That's why none of them moved. So you ask yourself, is that part of the plot?
Mm.
It's like the Julius Caesar thing. You remove the Praetorian Guard and you can get to Caesar.
Mm.
You know, it's not about bribing these guys. You make them inactive. Okay, you can remember it's like a 35-degree day.
Yeah, it was stinking hot.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Jeez. And so who's Pat Kirkwood? His best mate was a fellow called Jack Ruby.
Oh, who killed Oswald, together. Ash? He killed Oswald.
And what about Abraham Zapruder himself, of course, lived out his days showing his home movies and having people going, yeah, it's not as good as your early stuff.
Also, here's a feather on your cap, I think. That's the terminology, Tone. I don't believe Zapruder.
Oh.
I think the CIA are behind Zapruder's film. I reckon they doctored that thing. No, go with me, Locke. Okay. I'm pretty sure.
But how would it have looked? I mean,
it's not doctored, and you know why? Because you know a little bit about film and film technology, Tone. It's a Super 8 film, but it's the side-by-side Super 8 film.
Yes.
So to prove that it is not doctored, you actually just have to show the full screen. So there's home movies of, like, in his office with the dressmaking and shit, and next to it is the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, so she used to film two things at once on either side, did it, Tone?
Yeah, so, and of course, they didn't have the special effects, you know. It would have looked like H.R. Puffin stuff.
Look, you need to throw out, theories, and it's been disproven.
But you see, things like, was the Zapruder film faked, is shit that bogs down the research community in crap that goes nowhere for years.
Mm.
People have published books saying it was fake, and then all you have to do is just go, yeah, but why don't we just show the whole film side by side, and then you...
Like Grown Ups too. When you see it in its entirety, it doesn't make sense.
When you watch the entirety of the Zapruder footage, there's a 3-minute custard pie fight at the end. No one ever talks about it.
But hilarious.
Like Dr. Strangelove, they cut it.
That's right. It wasn't testing well.
It didn't test.
So we've got a Kubrick reference in. We're covering all bases here at Team Effort.
Ash, but we've had a number of phone conversations before the podcast today, and you assured me that there were two stories you had to get away, which I'm always in support of. One, of course, was that I never know the story. Tony, he saves them for me. Yep. Rollins, of course, was the Harley Davidson one. And remember, I said, now make sure you don't forget the other one.
What was the other one?
Yeah, see, that's the problem, because the look you're giving me.
No, because I've got two.
Give me one word, pricey, of the one word.
So I've got mannequin or beanbag.
Oh, beanbag. Fucking beanbag.
We'll get to mannequin.
Give us fucking beanbag. Okay, go.
I'm buying a beanbag.
Congratulations.
I used to, the last beanbag I bought was seven years ago.
Oh, so it's not your first beanbag?
No. I only get the good ones. Now, the one I bought 7 years ago was red leather, fluoro red leather. It was about $350.
Yes.
I was walking down the street when did I speak to you, Ed? I think it was Wednesday. I said, mate, I'm buying a beanbag.
Yep.
I drove past it, and I just stopped the car.
I thought you were walking down the street.
No, I got an X5 BMW. Oh, and I stopped the car, and I went over, and I said, "Listen, how much for your beanbag?" And she said, "Which one?" I said, "You know which one.
Yeah.
The massive one."
Yeah, man.
She said, "That's 500.
Ooh, right.
Plus the beans." I said, "Oh."
So 500 for a bag?
For the empty flat bag.
That's 500.
So the beans are extra.
Absolutely. So I said, "How much for the beans?"
How much for the
zipper? So you're not buying a bean bag, you're buying a bag. Because there's no beans in it.
Yeah, but wait till I put the beans in it. Oh, then
that can sometimes be a two-man job, buddy. So if you need some help, give me a call.
Okay, well, it's actually a double. It's as big as a double bed. So we could probably lie on it together. Yeah, because I want to sit on my balcony and get sun. So anyway.
That doesn't sound like my speed, but anyway.
No, but I'm
going to do it indoors and do Daddy's Home too.
Well, you can sit inside and we can yell at each other through the windows. And then I said to her, "How much for the beans?" And she said, "Well, my beans are $30 a bag. Kmart's are $14, but they're terrible beans." And I said, "I know what you're saying. I'm going to buy the beans off you because your beans are better." She said, "Exactly."
So we're looking at total cost.
Okay, so I've got to buy 4 bags of beans because it's a huge thing. So it's $620?
Yeah, we're looking at $620 for a bean
plus
bag.
Plus, I want to get 2 pillows. So I'm looking at $660 or something.
Bean pillows? What?
No. Are the feathers separate? I don't know. She just said they're 20 each. And then she said, I said, "I'm not buying today." And she pulled a tactic on me and said, "I can't guarantee it'll be here when you come back." I said,
"I can. I can guarantee it'll be there when the closing down sale."
I think we can all guarantee that.
I'm going back there this afternoon. Okay. I said, "Listen, I know what you're trying to do. It's a sales technique, and it's not going to work."
Because you've got a business degree, don't you? You're not going to fall for that.
Mate, I continue to learn about business. Yep. You know, not only do I have a business degree, I keep learning.
What's your most recent tool?
Tool?
The book you're listening to, or the book you're reading.
Oh, I'm reading a lot of books. I like to read about 5 books at the same time.
What's on the go at the moment?
Tools of Titans. You know, you're reading.
Tim Ferriss one.
It's good.
Yep. Don't you have a Branson book you're reading?
Yeah, the Virgin guy. He's good. He's very good. He's doing the aeroplanes, and that's working
for
him.
Spoiler alert. He's doing aeroplanes.
Okay, that's two. What are the other 3 books?
I've got a book on the mind.
Right.
And that's a bit of fun.
Okay. Yeah,
it's quite cerebral.
Oh.
It would be. It would be. That would fit.
Yeah. It's number 4?
No, that's 3. That's all I'm doing.
Wow. So, I thought maths was a big part of business.
I thought it was 5. It's not.
Here is why.
So when you bought these books, did the words come with them, or did you have to buy all the words?
The pages are extra.
Boom.
The reason I'm angry at the beanbag purchase is the beanbag is a symbol tone. The beanbag was the symbol. Remember the flat that he had near you?
Oh, yes. Next door to Lockie. Yeah.
The next door to Lock that got sold. Well, you did well in real estate terms because you bought it, and 3 years later, he sold it for, and I quote,
"exactly the same price,"
which is always what you want in real estate. Oh, is that not true?
It was 5 grand less than what I...
In Melbourne? How is that possible?
So we only lost 5 grand on the apartment.
No, and I did refurbs on the apartment. Because remember, Lachlan, I flooded my apartment and all the carpet was mouldy.
Which you thought would sort itself out until my mum told you otherwise.
Your mum said, "You're going to die.
You're going to die."
Yeah. And so then I ripped up the carpet, and to my amazement, it was covered in mold. So I called, I got quotes for
the carpet court jester?
Oh. Fake timber floorboards. Good it's called call. Floating
Yeah, floating floors. They're very popular now. Yeah.
Yes. 2 grand. Oh, it's usually 7 grand or something. Some guy gave me a deal. He said, "I'll do you a deal." 2 grand. I said, "That sounds like a very good deal."
So we're down another 2 Gs for that.
So, so whoever bought my apartment for $330,000, floorboards, it's worth, it's worth that. But, you know, I fucking lost a lot of money.
Yeah, but we're not going to do that again.
It's got a place in cinema history because is that not where the topless scene from Border Protection Squad was filmed?
Connectamundo.
Yeah, it sure was.
It was an easy commute for me that day.
Yeah,
I wasn't even in the scene.
You weren't. Actually, I thought it was very weird when Lockie started doing impromptu makeup when he wasn't even acting in the scene that day. Lachlan, what are you doing here?
Well, there was free Nando's in the set too.
Still is, baby.
Oh, wow. Yep.
Love it. So, Ash, there was the beanbag story. Now, the reason that makes me angry is because Tony, the beanbag was the final thing that he sold as Jake.
Oh, Jake, his alter ego.
Yes,
the people who lived in his block weren't able to take advantage of him.
That's correct.
He adopted the persona of Jake.
And they would come into my apartment and say, and I'd say, "Sorry." They say, "I didn't know Jake. I didn't know you had a housemate. I said, yeah, Jake lives here, but he's not home. What are you here for, the toaster? Then they look at the toaster and say, it's $40. I said, can you do any cheaper? I said, I would. But Jake told me it's $40.
You're always learning, mate.
Yeah, he's always learning. That's one of those tools of the Titans, Tone. We are doing the best ever. Tone, this is my best ever Twitter clarification.
Oh.
This is something that you tweeted out.
Yeah.
There is a bit in Fidler's podcast where I say late 90s, where I clearly mean late 80s. Yes. Not much of a plug, I know. Sorry.
That was because I was on Richard Fidler's podcast. Yeah. I was referring to how long I'd known Pete Smith for, and I'd known him since the late 80s. Oh, not and since the
had there been 90s. Complaints? Had the switchboard lit up?
Well, the
mess,
because then I then in the next sentence say, so it's been 30 years. So, you make a mistake like that, and it's 200 tweets you have to answer individually.
So you thought
so
you'd
I thought I'd get them all in one hit.
Get ahead of the story, yes, as they say. Get ahead of the story, Tone. Here's a quote. Oh, yes, Ash.
Did I tell you, Tone, that I saw Pete Smith in a toilet?
Oh.
And I went up to him.
In a toilet? Or?
No. So it was in the, just the general
Was he
urinal.
Recording a voiceover?
No, well, he was.
It's got acoustics in there.
You know what? It does. And I saw him and I thought, you can't pass up opportunities. So I went up to him. I go, Pete Smith, I'm Ash Williams. I'm Tony Martin's friend. Mm. And then he said, oh, hi, Ash. Tony's a bit of fun, isn't he? And I go, yeah. He's bloody champion. Then I hugged him, and that's it.
And
what a day!
What a day! At the end of your conversation, did he say Pete Smith speaking?
Pete Smith speaking. We do need to jump out. I can't believe that it's getting dark outside, as you would say, Tone. So we do need to polish off the part two of the best ever team effort. Jay, what have we learned?
You talked about handlebars, motorcycle handlebars. Mm-hmm. The correct term is high drag. Now, that is according to the Ducati forum, but also according to Inked Iron, there are various types of handlebars called Breezer, Keystone, Zed, Frisco, and Ape.
Ape hangers.
Oh, well done. That'll do us. Yep.
Prey, according to IMDb, took in $744 Australian.
On its opening weekend or overall? I think that's overall.
That's the only film on IMDb that lists it in Australian dollars, though. Yeah, Everything else is in US dollars.
Yeah, you're right.
It would be about $350.
That is all time. That is not just opening weekend.
Wow. Yes. Now, Ash, you were very confident when you said there's no difference between an aqueduct and a viaduct.
Yep. Can I have a guess?
You can.
I believe an aqueduct, water is transferred from it to somewhere else, and a viaduct is still and just by itself.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the viaduct goes over something and transports rail, cars, that sort of thing.
And well done,
the Dallas one is completely grassed over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, apparently in 1963, it was dust.
So you could have
concrete
easily.
And dust.
No problem at all. Yeah. Okay, yep.
So but I'm sure you could still land on grass anyway.
Well, we should do it.
If you want to check out the JFK papers, you can go to archives.gov/research/JFK/2017release, and you get a whole list of all sorts of things. And here's one item, which is number 6, and it's from the CIA. It's a paper textual document sent to FBI Director James R. Hunt Jr. And the description
FBI
is...
FBI Director James R. Hunt would be FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover back then.
Well, no, it says James R. Hunt.
Is it from director or to director?
To... Ah, thank you, Lockie.
Well it done, Lockie.
Yeah.
You're going to get out a bit earlier in the morning than that, Jay.
No, thank you. You're exactly right. So it's from James R. Hunt to FBI Director.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it is the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, photo of Lee H. Oswald taken by Monica Kramer, American tourist in Minsk, Russia, August 1961.
Great.
That's the type of stuff that's on there.
What we can look forward
to. There's a lot of stuff. Well, we've got a lot of the Minsk photos. There's a lot of shots of Oswald in Red Square that were taken.
On his Instagram?
No. When he was not. He was in Minsk. Red Square's in Moscow.
Oh, yeah. I see what that's done there, Tone.
Okay, right.
Yeah, you're lucky
just
with that.
Just a little bit of food for thought. Back into the left.
Thank you. Back into the left.
Before we let Lockie go, just a Batman question from Twitter.
Sure.
From Winter Run. Lockie, Thoughts on Jake G possibly being the new Batman? Uh-huh. Would have liked to see Batfleck in a solo Batman.
This is a rumor that started today that this guy, Matt Reeves, who's doing the new Batman spin-off movie called The Batman with Affleck, apparently, it's a rumor saying he actually doesn't want Affleck for the role. He wants Jake Gyllenhaal. Mm. But here's an interesting story. John Papsadera, who was the casting director for Chris Nolan on all the Bat films, was over at Papsadera's place one day having a drink. Yeah. And he told me the story about how Christian Bale got cast because the studio wanted Gyllenhaal.
Wow.
For Batman back then.
Right, okay. Yeah.
And Christopher Nolan's response to Warner's was, no, I need to cast Batman, not Batboy.
Oh.
Boom.
Oh, good for you.
So I don't think that'll happen.
Wow. Jay, is that where we're at?
That is it.
Rex Hunt, your thoughts on today's two podcasts?
Scrubworms, body grubs, yabbies, and shrimp.
Yeah, that's what I thought you'd say. We do need to jump out. As always, we say thank you to our guest, Ash Williams. Anything you'd like to plug before we go, bro? Insta, what's your Insta?
Ash Williams 1, give us a follow. I'm going to be in Bondi next week, 2 days.
This will be this
just,
one. This
no, I'm going to be hanging out. Like, I've got nothing to do with. So if you're in Bondi, I've got one meeting. I've got one lunch meeting. Wow. So if you want to hang out, I'll buy you a coffee. That's on me. If you spot me in Bondi, actually, you know what? They're not going to hear this before then.
Well, they might.
I will do this. If you spot me, when this podcast comes out, if you spot me within 1 week of this podcast coming out in any state in Australia.
Give it to me.
I'll give you $5. You come up to me. You come up to me and you say.
What's the code word?
Team effort, baby.
Team effort, baby.
This is so going to backfire, don't you think?
What are you doing, man?
I won't leave.
You're going to have to sell that beanbag.
No, I won't leave the house. But
that code word again.
You're going to be doing the next podcast wearing a barrel.
Team. That code word again is...
Team effort, baby.
Team effort, baby. But one more thing. Ed.
Wonderful.
You want to change it to $2?
No. Look, if it gets maxed, if I give away $200, then it goes to $2.
It's a sliding scale.
Sliding scale. First, $200. That's $5, and then it goes to $2. Get involved.
Yep.
Stay awake. Come up to me.
Can someone do it more than once? Like,
absolutely.
Okay.
But you've got to catch me.
You've got to
touch me. It's like baseball.
The guy going, team effort, baby. Here's you, mate. Team effort, baby.
I should have thought this through.
I like to think that Ash is having the same thought process he had when he walked out onto the car park lot to see the Harley Davidson. How am I going to fool them here?
Lachlan, thank you. What plugs, of course, for the Stan, the release of Romper Stomper.
Finished a new miniseries, the sequel to the iconic film Romper Stomper, six-part miniseries. Series stars myself, David Wenham, Jacqueline McKenzie, Dan Wiley, and a great up-and-comer from the sticks called Toby Wallace, who plays the son of Russell Crowe.
Isn't Yahoo serious in there somewhere?
Somewhere. I think we beat the shit out of him in the first scene.
That'd be wonderful.
So that's on Stan, guys. That's on Stan. Starts New Year's Day.
Well, that's a good time to start as any. And Tone.
Deadly Kerfuffle is in the bookshops. Great There's book. Another podcast somewhere on iTunes called Childproof, featuring myself and Geraldine Quinn, a few people, including Lachlan Hugh.
That is great. And including...
Mr. Jay Mueller.
Jay Mueller narrating away.
Yeah.
And when does it start, Tone?
By the time...
When does it drop?
Well, I think by the time this is out, it will already have dropped.
Great.
And, of course, myself and Damien Cowell's Disco Machine are on tour in December. Yeah. Christmas shows.
I love it.
Somewhere in... Melbourne, your somewhere in Sydney.
All right, that's us. Jay, thank you as always. Thank you.
One more thing, Ed. We should plug your beautiful wife's business because a lot of my friends are using her TFXO. You know, if you're a guy or a girl listening to this, get involved.
You want to get fit, TFXO.com.
Maybe your wife or your girlfriend or a woman you've never ever met.
This is not the Kung Fu school.
This is not Kung Fu, Tone. Okay. This is fitness. So TFXO.com. Thank you, mate.
Yeah.
She's doing a great job. Thank you to you, Jay. Thank you to all of our guests. Thank you to the Triple M for housing us. That is the team effort we will see. Oh, also, a big thanks to Miami DC, who does all of our grabs. We love him dearly. Thank you to Luke Jacobs for everything that he's done so far in show business.
Instant Hotel,
thank you so much. And also to you, dear listener, thanks for being a part of Le Team Effort.
Back and to the left. Back and to the left. Back and to the left.